to the general climate strike at Vancouver City Hall, where it joins in solidarity with thousands of other protesters from across the city. To join in, meet outside the MS Nest at 11 a.m. on Friday, September 27th. A reminder that this event is taking place in the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 27th of September, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Uksin, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, VIFF is on. The Vancouver International Film Festival kicked off last night. It'll be going on for the next couple of weeks. And one of the highlights is the world premiere of Haida Modern, a documentary about the life and art of Robert Davidson. We'll talk to the filmmaker, Charles Wilkinson. We'll also meet Lisa Falafi, one of the creative forces behind Transform, a cabaret festival where over 50 Indigenous and non-Indigenous performers, comedians, musicians, burlesque artists, drag artists, a whole range of performers will take over the culture's three venues from October 2nd to the 12th. And Tony and Tina's wedding has returned. For about 15 years, between 1995 and 2010, Horse Raven Theatre's production of the interactive play Tony and Tina's Wedding was a Vancouver theatre institution. Now, actor Jeff Lauren is bringing it back for two shows in New Westminster. We'll also keep you informed on some events going on this weekend. We'll have the usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And let's get started right away with some music. We have a new release from Vancouver. This is Unmanned.
You thought that someone just like me would save you. Running in circles, your feet had betrayed you. Just because I was the one who unraveled. Thanks for your time and your will.
So that's Vancouver, and sitting across from me now is Mr. Charles Wilkinson. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So you just broke the news that your first screening of High to Modern has sold out at the Vancouver Film Festival. So congratulations.
Thank you. We're really thrilled.
So let's talk a little bit about the film then.
Sure.
So High to Modern, it evokes a lot of things, but it's basically about the art and the life of Robert Davidson.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, when I was younger, when you thought about high to art, the only name that came up was Bill Reed.
That's right. Yeah,
and now Bill's work is immortal.
Yeah.
But Robert has kind of has eclipsed it.
Yeah. For a number of reasons, and that's really an accurate reading of it, I think. One of the reasons is that Bill, who we knew and worked with back in the day, mm-hmm. he worked primarily in a time when there was no social media and there was no internet.
Right.
And so his reach was confined really to fine art circles. So that's one reason, whereas Robert's life has been, you know, in the internet age. Mm-hmm. But another reason is that Bill really stated publicly numerous times that he felt high to art, high to culture, not art, high to culture was dead.
Yeah.
It was a museum culture. And that has never been Robert's point of view. Robert's fought his entire life to revive the culture, to go back to the work of the old masters, mm-hmm. and not just in art, but also in the worldview. And that's the part that really attracted us to making this film, is that the Haida worldview and the indigenous worldview that values the natural world, that sees a completely different relationship between the natural world and human beings, mm-hmm. where as opposed to the sort of Judeo-Christian idea where we have dominion over all things that fly through the air and swim and crawl on the earth and stuff, that, you know, indigenous worldviews generally see ourselves as part of the natural world. And that's Robert's, you know, that's his thing. That's mm-hmm. And the idea of respect for traditions, respect for elders, and that's what makes his message so compelling and so relevant. I mean, look what's going on today. We're marching in the streets, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they're gathering right now to head out to City Hall for the gathering this afternoon.
As are we, yeah.
And it couldn't be more relevant.
Yeah.
I saw half of the film this morning.
You'll come see the other half.
Yeah, right? I will. Yeah. But I was really taken by not just Robert's artistic contribution, but his connection to his culture and his role in reviving it.
Well, that's what's at the heart of the film, is that his story is by itself is fantastic. It's amazing that somebody could come from the incredible set of disadvantages that any indigenous person in our culture suffered mm-hmm. in that time and largely continue to suffer. For him to come from that and overcome those obstacles to become such a leading figure in the international art world, never mind the curio museum world, his work is regarded as fine art in museums in galleries in New York and Europe all over the place. Mm-hmm.
But, the very first scene in the film, it takes place in the sculpture of park, it really is, in New York, and the curator's listing off all of these great sculptors and Robert Davidson.
I know, that's
so
cool.
He's one of the world leaders.
Like Rodin, Maillot, Giacometti, and Robert Davidson. Yeah. And how cool is that? But I mean, beyond that, and really what's at the heart of the film is that Robert's work in reviving Haida culture has gone so far beyond merely that. Now the impact that it's having on Western culture in general. Oh, that's me.
That's yours.
Sorry, man. That's Robert. We just did television this morning. His impact on all of us, like really, when you think about it, 20, 30 years ago, you walk down a street in Vancouver, you would see very little for Indigenous art.
Yeah.
And today, you can't turn a corner without bumping into some.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that it's, you know, a sort of a red washing. It's not just that. It's also partly that. But I mean, we were wearing it on T-shirts, tattoos. We're seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
And we go to a rally, like today, for example, the climate rally, there's going to be such a strong Indigenous presence.
Oh, yeah.
Who's paying for, you know, all of the court challenges to save us from the worst of ourselves? It's generally the Indigenous bands, the nations mm-hmm. that are fighting for the values that Robert expresses in his work.
Yeah.
So what's not to be excited about that?
Yeah. As a filmmaker, what was it like working with Robert?
Oh, amazing. I mean, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but Robert, he's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. Also, just to sit at the elbow of a great master and watch as he, you know, chisels or as he paints and sculpts is just such a gift. But also, his style of conversation is different. He lives in a different kind of a space. He doesn't talk fast. He's not like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. Right? He's very quiet and thoughtful guy.
And there's a lot of pauses.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
in the interview segments.
He's very but I mean, it's interesting. There was one day we came to his studio to work, and I walked in the door and said, "Good morning, Robert." And I said, "How are you?" Yeah. He said, "I'm fine, but you only get two questions today." And I said, "Oh no, is that one of them?" He said, "Yeah, and that's the other." Yeah, so I mean, he's got a great sense of humor. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Off we
go. Yeah, no, I'll just leave now. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. No. He's just a really, everybody who meets Robert just says that you enter his space and he's a delightful human being, mm-hmm. and he's completely genuine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that really comes across in the film is that he's not selling anything. You know, he's just himself, and the work that he does that isn't just art. He has a dance group. He goes all around the world dancing this regalia that's worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that he's created.
I was actually part of a show at the Queen Elizabeth Theater where his dance troupe came in.
Oh, nice.
About 15 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're amazing.
The show itself was a disaster, but he was his group was a real highlight.
Well, he does something in the film in High to Modern that is remarkable. He talks about the meaning of the masks and some of the spiritual aspects of the religion, of the Haida worldview. And I get goosebumps whenever I see that section because he talks about how when you dance a mask, you become that being. So you become Raven or you become Eagle. And in the film, we've done everything we could to try and underscore that, I think is a pretty fair word. And you start to feel that. I mean, you see a Raven and you start to feel that you're flying.
Yeah.
That's pretty. I get goosebumps with
that. Oh, fantastic!
Yeah.
Now you have quite an interesting history. You've been in film for about 30 years or so.
Yeah, my whole.
But you're just sort of starting out as a documentarian.
Well, actually, no. I've been doing documentaries since I graduated from UBC.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. In fact, that was a change of direction. I did drama for most of my career, although I did start out in documentary. That's what I wanted to do. But then everybody said, "No, you're going to go broke."
That's right. You want to make money, you got to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fine. I had a great time in drama. I did a lot of work that I was proud of.
Yeah.
But you know, documentary, I came back to UBC because I was so tired of getting scripts that were like a guy with a gun, a beautiful but brilliant female in distress and a drug deal going down.
I mean,
just the scripts are so stupid. And so I was tired of it. You know, I did enough of that. And so I came to UBC, I studied, and I got to study some of the great masters of the cinema and remember why it was that I love this work so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did down here, and you know, there's been four or five, you know, features since then. And so it's a great path. I'm so blessed to be able to do this.
Yeah, wonderful. And as we said, your first screening has already sold out. When can people still get tickets to see it?
For the 11th, October the 11th at the Playhouse. And again, it's a 700-seat theater. It's a huge experience, big screener. And Robert Davidson's going to be there.
Wonderful.
Yep, and we're going to do question and answer, and it's going to be a good time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to come out and talk to us about it. And
thank you, Dave.
More great success, and say hi to Robert for us.
I will, for sure.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay. So as we said, Vancouver International Film Festival is going on right now. If you want to find out more, you can just check out their website at viff.org.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
We don't have many enemies here at CITR, but we do like to keep our friends close. And when you become a member of CITR, our friends are your friends. So join CITR today to get discounts at Audiopile, Red Cat, Vinyl Records, Hooked on Phono, Rufus Guitar and Drum Shop, Tapestry Music, The Cinematheque, Kerner's Pub, Stormcrow, The Pint, and Fortune Sound Club. For more info, visit citr.ca/friends.
Take it away. But don't give sex, say it.
that's a new release from Dead Soft, from their self-titled album, Dead Soft. Okay, sitting across from me now is Mr. Jeff Lauren. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
I should turn your mic on so you can talk. There you go.
Hello.
Hi. And who have you brought with you?
I have brought Madison Green with me, who is Tina Vitale in Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Yeah.
And I have brought Scott Anderson, who is Michael Just in our show of Tony and Tina's Wedding.
All right. So what the heck is Tony and Tina's Wedding? I alluded to it in the intro to the show, but that was like almost half an hour ago. So, you know, who knows who's listening now. But for about 15 years, Tony and Tina's Wedding was an institution in Vancouver theater. I mean, there's a whole generation of actors who had some connection with it.
Correct.
And then it went away about 10 years ago. And it has been brought back in various guises, but you're bringing it to New Westminster.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about what Tony and Tina's Wedding is. It's interactive theater. What is interactive theater?
Interactive theater is basically you're going to go there to see a wedding. So prepare yourself for a real wedding, dress like a real wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen and what makes it interactive is that there's going to be people placed around the room at tables with you, which are actors.
Right.
So if you're looking for entertainment that you want to be excited about, you want to come to the show.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get you up on the dance floor. They're going to get you to have a good time. Yeah. If you want to just sit like you do at a wedding and enjoy and relax and enjoy some good food and some good music and some good people, then this is the show you want to go see.
Yeah. Part of the fun, too, is trying to figure out who are the paying customers and who are the actors.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because if the actors are doing their job, you shouldn't be able to tell.
And you can tell. Seeing the smiles on people's faces is why myself, a little bit of a background on me, I was cast in this show in 2002,
right.
My first show ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I played Michael Just, the same role that Scott's playing.
Right.
And I played, I think, seven or eight different roles and finished as the last Tony Nunzio in 2009. So I have a history with this show.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the show came back to Pitt Meadows.
Right.
I was cast in a new role.
Yeah, that was the Emerald Pig production, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I was cast in a new role as Vinnie Black, something that I had never done or never thought I'd be able to do.
Why is that? Tell me about Vinny. What was the challenge for that role?
Because I was cast in roles that were 20s and 30s, and when I auditioned, I wanted a 20 or 30s role, and then I had to realize that I'm in my 40s, and when they looked at me and said, we want to cast you as Vinny Black, the caterer, and they wanted to cast me as Nunzio, the father, I had to go, oh, okay. So I've changed a little bit of a notch there.
Right.
So that was a challenge for me, and I'm not Italian.
Yeah.
You know, so to play an Italian role, a character that big, was a challenge. But you know what? I thrived in it. I loved it.
Good.
And I brought back the love for myself of this show. And, you know, having the opportunity to bring actors from 10 years ago's show and last year's show, like Madison and Scott,
mm-hmm.
to join us again. Now I'm bringing two worlds together, two families together, and creating one big family. And it's been a pleasure to be able to have this opportunity and to give the same opportunity that I got to some new actors to be able to come into the show and work with us and get the opportunity to work with 24 actors,
mm-hmm.
you know, in rehearsals every week and a famous show like Tony and Tina's Wedding.
All right, Madison, tell us your story. How long have you been an actor? What got you started?
I've been doing acting all my life. Both my parents actually are actors as well, and that's how they met, doing a show in Vancouver.
What show?
Blithe Spirit.
Oh, wow. Spirit. Yes. Classic.
Yep.
Noel Coward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mom played the dead girlfriend and my dad was the guy.
Yeah.
So that's how they met. So I've been around acting all my life.
Yeah.
Been around a lot of theater. I was very familiar with Tony and Tina's Wedding because my acting teacher was Natalie Farah, who is Michael Farah, the original director.
Yeah.
His niece.
Yeah.
So I was very familiar with it, and then when I saw that they were looking for people for Tony and Tina's, I auditioned for Madeline originally. So I originally played the stripper in the show at the Emerald Pig production, and then Jeff was like, I would love you to play Tina this time, and I was like, okay.
So tell me a little bit about sort of that interactive part when you're playing a stripper and you're having to relate with the audience.
It was a challenge for me. I've never done any sort of role like that before.
Yeah.
I definitely make a few people uncomfortable, especially in a role that is so bold and out there.
Yeah.
You were amazing.
But it was really fun to kind of go out of my comfort zone to kind of do that. And and show such a strong character like that to people.
Yeah.
And then playing Tina, who's completely a very Catholic girl. Mm-hmm. She does a little crazy things here and there, but she wants you to believe she's very Catholic. And
yeah.
Very respectful.
Tina kind of emerges throughout the course of the
yes.
the evening. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And Scott, a little bit about you. What remind me again of the character you're playing.
I am Michael Just, Tina's mm-hmm. ex-boyfriend. I'm doing that in this show as yeah. well as last year's show. I did that too. So it worked out for me. I didn't have to learn anything new, really. I found out about the show last year just by chance, really, because I was doing or trying to at least do some more film and television acting.
Right.
I wasn't really getting anything. And I was helping someone with just a little web series. And I asked, are there any good courses or theater companies that I should look out for? And someone said, check out this audition in Pitt Meadows.
Right.
And that just led into, meeting everyone at the audition. And then the director at the time, Aaron Davis, called me back and he said, I want you for the ex-boyfriend. And I don't have a huge theater background, but it turned into this really great experience for me.
Yeah.
You fit right.
Yeah.
There.
And it is not like I did not get an opportunity to work in Tony Tina's, but I did do a similar kind of show. It was a funeral and I couldn't handle it. I really couldn't handle it being sitting in the pew with paying customers around me and having to interact and stuff. I like to be on stage and have the protection of the lights in front of me and the audience sits there and I'm up here. I'm doing my stuff. And so it is a challenging experience.
We do respect that too.
I mean,
we're never going to invade your personal space. It's more of an invite. It's a welcoming hand to come on up and play
with
us.
What I mean is that as an actor,
oh, okay.
I was intimidated by the audience. So
and it is improv. You have to know your background characters. You have to know where these people came from. You have to know, what happened at the wedding shower. You need to know what happened at funerals in the past, because people are going to ask you these questions because they're, they want to know all these questions about these two families that they've come to see. And a great thing about Madison as well is when I found out that her mother actually had used to be in Tony and Tina's wedding as well.
Yeah.
She played Tina Vitale.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big full circle for me. When the show fell into my lap to co-produce and to direct it, my first, idea was to, it would be a great idea to cast Madison.
Oh, yeah.
And she fits the part. She's doing great. And you guys just wait and see what kind of show that we have for you October 12th and 11th at the Columbia Theater in New
West. I was just about to segue into that. Well done. So it's the Columbia Theater. So it's actually in a theater. It's not...
correct.
The Farrahs used to do it at the old Queen Elizabeth Theater restaurant.
Correct. It's a little bit like... an old rustic coliseum type thing, which Vinnie Black owns.
Okay.
So it fits really well. So even though there's a stage, it's not a stage setting.
Right.
Everything will happen around the room. More like the head table will be on the stage kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very interesting. I'm excited to see some familiar faces come to the show. We are sold out. I think one or two tickets left for October 11th.
Right.
October and 12th, there's still tickets.
Good.
Tonight, September 27th, we are doing a fundraiser for Tony and Tina's wedding so that we can continue to keep the show alive. We've had lots of demand for it, and the cast would like to maybe do a couple more shows in December.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fundraiser tonight, 7 p.m., at the Army Navy down at Main and 23rd.
Right.
Everyone is welcome to come in. There's no cover charge. There'll be two live bands, and we are selling tickets to give away tickets for the October 12th show.
Right.
So you can come and win tickets to the show tonight.
Yeah.
Please come and support us. Join us down there. It's going to be a great time, and we're really hoping to see a lot of familiar faces out to the show. The show ran for 14 years, Tony and Tina's wedding in Vancouver. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be excited to see this show and to see the actors that acted in it before, some of the new actors from last year and some of these new people. I'm excited to be a part of it myself.
I can tell. It shows. It comes across. So just to sum up, so you've got the fundraiser, the Bucket of Blood, tonight at 23rd and Main.
Correct.
And if you can't make it to that, how do people get tickets and find out more about your performance in the Columbia?
You can go down to eventbrite.com.
Right.
And there is links to the October 12th show.
Okay.
There's also a Facebook link for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can link into tickets for that as well.
Great.
The Columbia.ca.
Yep.
I also want to put a thank you out there to Lace Couture. You can get them at lacecouture.ca. They mm-hmm. have donated dresses for Tina and the yeah. bridesmaids.
And tell me about this swag you dropped off for me here. I've got a hat,
I got a
pair of socks.
That, some beer companies have.
And this lovely Pilsner mug.
A couple of beer companies have. I work at a few different bars, so uh-huh. a few people have supported me in my fundraiser and donated some stuff for me to be able to give away as prizes. And I had a few extra little things that I thought I would give you giving us the opportunity to come
beautiful.
On here
that
today.
Is, I wish we had a camera on this, because this is like mm-hmm. a nice big ceramic tankard with the Pilsner flag and the rabbit and stuff on it. And these great Woodsman socks and the brewery hat.
Nice little hat for you,
you guys.
Which looks good on you. It doesn't look good on many people. I tried it on. It doesn't look good
on
me.
As soon as I put it on, I started getting compliments.
Yeah, it looks great on you, Dave.
You guys are welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
If you bring in hats that make me look good, you can come back.
Okay. All the hats you guys.
Maybe we'll see you tonight, Dave, at the fundraiser.
That just might happen. All right, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So that is, who the heck is that anyway? That was Deep Fantasy and a new release from them. I've got Lisa Falafi here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are part of a sort of brand new venture that's happening down at the cult called
Yes.
Transform.
Yes.
It's a cabaret festival.
Yes.
But it's bigger than just being a cabaret festival. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think the culture are really like ahead of the game. I'm in the cabaret industry myself in mm-hmm. Australia, and watching how this festival's come together, I think it's been really inspiring, because the open invitation to all of the Indigenous artists especially,
mm-hmm.
I think like this festival runs for 9 nights over 3 venues, so it's pretty big.
And not just the stages, but in the lobbies and
exactly,
the parking
lots.
Exactly,
it's like a takeover. Yeah. So there are people involved from family events through to burlesque and, comedy. Yeah. All of the different aspects of cabaret,
yeah.
but also with this open invitation that, there are, it says 50 in an article I wrote, 50 performers, but I know that it's more like 80 plus performers now.
Oh, yeah.
Indigenous and non-Indigenous performers. So that's pretty, That's a big feat in itself to bring that many performers together.
Oh, yeah. Who are some of the people that are coming?
I've written down a little list quickly. like people that I've made connections to, because this is my third year coming back to Vancouver. I've actually been here programmed by the Kulch in a show called Hot Brown Honey. So it's been interesting to come back in this different headspace, which is I'm here working on the opening bash. Putting together those nights with a bunch of artists from across the festival. So seeing people that I've met before has been awesome, like JB First Lady, First Nations, like hip-hop, rapper, all of the, you know, all of those amazing things, like DJ Cookham, Kwana Style, who's in drag here and a singer. Kumelia is my co-host and protocol keeper. You know, famous people like Veda Hilly. So I'm getting my introduction to all of the amazing artists here in Vancouver. Virago Nation, who are First Nations burlesque troupe. Steph Tidzel, who is a comedian from Australia. So the list goes on and on. There's 80 performers. So,
I know. We could spend the whole hour just listing the performers.
But if you go to the website, it's like so much great.
It's a great website. Yeah. I mean, I just flashed it up here. It's transformcabaret.com, and you know, you can just sort of get a seizure just watching some of the images passing by. Then you get into it. Tell us a little bit about you. You refer to yourself as a performance maker.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
I think you try to find terms that encompass when you do multidisciplinary work. So, you know, I've sort of grown up doing traditional dance. My background is Samoan, and I'm Australian as well. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up doing all of the island dances from across the Pacific, and also then studied theatre. So from that, I think storytelling is a huge part of cultural happenings. So I think as my career went on over the last 25 years, I've become interested in circus and cabaret and like a real mix between theatre and cabaret. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our Hot Brown Honey, we're known for sort of gender bending and, you know, genre bending as well. So it's been... I think that's performance maker sums up a bunch of being able to experiment with form, and that's what I'm interested in.
Great. Yeah. And what was sort of the genesis of the Transform Festival?
I think culture's always looking for wonderful ways to create new things, but I'd like to take some credit only because
no one else wanted to come and sit here and take credit, so it's all yours.
Mostly I think is because of the relationship I think that Hot Brown Honey through our cabaret show built with Kulch and Heather from the Kulch. You know, I think that Heather's interest in what's happening in the cabaret scene in Australia and across the UK. A lot of Australian artists actually work in the UK.
And that's Heather Redfern, who's the artistic director at the Kulch.
Yes. And I think that relationship has spurred that on even further. And I think, like, our show has been really, because our show is world First Nations women making heaps of noise and, you know, creating some waves of change.
Yeah. And for anyone who knows Kulamia Sparrow, that basically sums her up.
Exactly.
Making lots of noise.
Yes, which is why she's a great partner for me to have in this, you know. So I think that maybe seeing our show and how it can cross that sort of brain, need more coffee already. you know, that like bringing those things to the forefront, that what cabaret can do, that it can be very entertaining and it can be like open up discussion for so many, you know, issues in the world, even climate change right now, you know, like all of the work that can be made. And I think First Nations work often talks about those things, climate change, gender, race, you know. So what a wonderful way of bringing in both Indigenous and non-Indigenous performers to create work that pushes boundaries, that, you know, is also a little bit less pressure because you also can make a 5-minute act. Yeah. You don't have to come up with an hour show that costs you thousands and thousands of dollars. You can invest in a small piece of work and which helps you get a door into the industry, really. Mm-hmm. That's why I love cabaret and that variety scene is because it can be a way for performers to financially afford to participate in making art.
Yeah.
And also going to where your everyday audience is, you know.
Yeah, and it gives the audience an opportunity to sample to try things that they might not. I don't know if I want to go see a whole 2-hour show of that, but I'll check it out for 5 minutes and see what it does for me. And then if I want more, well, there's this thing over here.
Exactly. And that's what's brilliant about these opening night bash nights that we're having is because it is actually taste testing from all across the festival. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday, 2nd and 3rd.
Right.
And you can see a little bit of everything, you know, from drag to burlesque to, comedy. We've got some of our comedians on. What else? Sisters at Dance. You know, it'd be a celebration of all of the different forms. So, and then you can also go, I really like that. I'm going to go back and see their show.
Yeah.
You know, that's the brilliance of having some of these opening night, celebrations.
Exactly. Well, it's very exciting. I mean, congratulations on getting it off the ground and making
They've
it happen.
They've done an amazing job. Yeah. I've just walked in this week and just gone, wow, congratulations, guys. You know, what a feat.
Thanks for making me look good.
Yes, exactly. And get to take you all the credit here in the studio. Yeah. No.
Now, aside from hosting, are you going to, do you have a performance slot yourself?
I'll just be doing a little performance in the bash nights.
Right.
Yeah. But other than that, I'll be helping put together, there's a club nights also, end of the week. So I'll be putting those club nights together. So you'll get to see artists exploring even more, because that's that late night session is where you can experiment.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll be.
Great. So it's all going on at the Culture Historic, the Culture Lab, and the York Theatre on Commercial Drive, and of course, all points in between. And all the information is online at transformcabaret.com. Lisa, thank you so much for coming
thank
in and telling us about
me.
It. Have a great festival.
We'll do.
Great. Okay. Let's hear some more music. Actually, let's talk about this first.
We're rising, and we're not going to stop rising until climate is treated like the emergency that it is.
This Friday, UBC students, staff, and faculty will be walking out of classrooms and offices in a strike for climate action. The UBC climate strike will rally outside the AMS Nest before moving to the general climate strike at Vancouver City Hall, where it joins in solidarity with thousands of other protesters from across the city. To join in, meet outside the AMS Nest at 11 a.m. on Friday, September 27th. A reminder that this event is taking place in the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi. Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Los Angeles pop-punk duo Bleached will be at the Biltmore Cabaret on October 8th with guests Du York and Necking. Don't miss the show and grab your tickets at mrgconcerts.com or at Red Cat Records.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Theater in the Raw with the great Jay Hamburger is celebrating their 25th anniversary with their 1A Act Play Festival. These are plays that were commissioned and entered into their 1-Act Playwriting Contest. And the three finalists, the three plays that will be presented, are Pierogies for Breakfast by Murray Melanchuk Mason. This is a play about a university student's act of defiance during the FLQ crisis of the 1970s. Old Friends by Anthony Arnold, a seedy, hard-boiled crime drama based on actual historic events that took place in Vancouver in the 1940s that resulted in, I think it was the chief of police having to resign in disgrace. And Waiting for the Godots by Robin Chalat. This is a satire of Beckett's Waiting for Godot, and it is treated in a fun and approachable way. So all three plays will be presented in November as part of the Theater in the Raw one-act play festival. The auditions are happening tomorrow, from tomorrow until the 5th of October, and so you can book an audition time by contacting Jay Hamburger at theaterintheraw@telus.net, and make sure you put the one-act audition request on the subject line so that Jay knows to open it. And you can also go to the Theatre in the Raw website to find out more about the festival. The Artist Collective Vancouver is accepting submissions for their third season. They're going to be putting up shows in January. What will happen is they'll be selecting 9 actors for a 10-week process of rehearsal and performance, with the final product shown January 16th to 18th. So they like to encourage fellow artists to broaden their skill set working together. 9 actors will be selected. Each actor will direct 1 scene and act in 2. The cast is randomly selected for each director, giving everyone the opportunity to jump out of their comfort zone. So if you want to find out more, you can go to the Artist Collective, and the email is theartistcollective.van@gmail.com, or just look up the Artist Collective on the web or on Facebook or wherever you find it. First Impressions Theatre in Deep Cove is doing the classic musical Funny Girl. They're holding auditions on Sunday and Monday. Sunday it'll be at Carousel Theatre on Granville Island. Monday it'll be at the Deep Cove Theatre in North Vancouver. And so when you submit your resume, just let them know whether you prefer to do audition in Vancouver or Deep Cove. And you can send your headshots and resumes to theatercat@telus.net. The show is happening in February. The auditions, as I said, are happening on Sunday and Monday. Mid-20s Theater is a group that is well-loved by this show. Bohan Bridge and his gang have been on a few times, and they've got a new play that they're going to be putting up in May of next year, with the auditions happening in October. It's called Persephone's Cave, and it's an original two-hander that tells the story of two outcasts named Persephone and Hayden who have chosen to escape the world by locking themselves away from the rest of society for the rest of their lives in the projector room of an old cinema. Now, this is not it's a recent play. It's not a brand new play, but it first premiered at the Frigid Festival in New York in February. This will be the Vancouver premiere of this play. And if you want to consider yourself for the play, just make a note of the fact that it does depict drug use. It's prescription drugs. It's pills. It's not needles. But still, if you're not comfortable with that, then keep that in mind. If you want to find out more, you can send your headshot and resume to mid20stheater@gmail.com. And what they'll do is they'll take the submissions and then decide if they want to see you, and then they will contact you back to give you an audition time sometime in October. Royal City Musical Theatre is gearing up for their spring production of George and Ira Gershwin's Crazy for You, directed by Val Easton. That's going to be up in April at the Massey Theatre in New West. They will be holding auditions in early October from the 3rd to the 9th at the Massey Theatre, which is at 8th Avenue in New Westminster. They're looking for strong singers, actors, and dancers. And if you have any questions, you can contact the producer at producer@RoyalCityMusicalTheatre, all one long word. com. We've got casting for a short musical film. It's called Looking Back. Anna Annika is the director of this one. They'll be shooting in November. They're holding auditions October 4th and 5th at Emily Carr University of Art and Design in the old flats on Great Northern Way. They're looking for performers of Filipino descent who have some experience of singing and acting on camera. The production is a musical short film that explores a mother-daughter relationship and the individual regrets within that relationship. The story addresses themes of regret, family relationships, and mental health. You can send your headshot and resume to lookingbackthefilm@gmail.com. In North Vancouver, North Van Community Players at Henry Hall are doing Becky's New Car. story of a middle-aged woman dealing with changes in her marriage and her life. And that's going to be happening in January, directed by a friend of the show, Peter Zednik. He's holding auditions next week, October 6th and 7th, at the Silver Harbor Senior Center, which is in North Vancouver. These are open auditions, but preferences will be given to existing members. And if you want to find out more, contact the producer, and that's Liz Massel. And her email is LIZMASSILL. No, just one L, sorry. LIZMASSIL at hotmail.com. Or you can contact Peter, the director, and his is PMO, which is not Prime Minister's Office, but it's PMO at Shaw.ca. Metro Theatre is doing Always a Bridesmaid by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooden. That's happening in January at Metro Theatre in Marpole. And their auditions are on October 7th and 8th. They're looking for six women who can do Southern accents. If you can't do it for the audition, they will give you some coaching so you can do it in performance time. As I said, the auditions are happening October 7th and 8th at Metro Theatre on Southwest Marine Drive. We've got a play called A Kid Like Jake by Daniel Pearl. This is produced by Dream of Passions Productions, and that's going to be happening at the Powell Studio Theater in April. Produced by another friend of the show, Stefania Indelicato, who, if you ever get a chance to see her her audition reel, she does a great thing with strawberries for the show Lucifer. That's all I'll say about that. Anyway, Stefania is a great friend of the show, and she'll be producing this one. The production will be happening at PAL in April. The auditions are October 15th in Vancouver. They will consider both equity and non-equity submissions, and they have a statement of commitment to diverse, inclusive casting. Submissions will be accepted for all performers, regardless of age, sex, ethnicity, disability, race, color, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, gender expression, gender identity, or any other basis protected by law. That's a new addition to the commitment line. I like that. Protected by law. If we have to take you, we will. I didn't mean that. That's not what they meant. Anyway, the email address is dreamofpassionsproductions@gmail.com. And finally, if you are a lawyer, a law student, or anyone who works in the legal system and like to do a little bit of acting, it's time for the annual Lawyer Show. This is an annual production put on by members of the bar and students and their support, and it's helped to raise money for various legal charities. And it's this year they're doing Mamma Mia. And that's about as far from the Lawyer Show I think they've ever gotten. When they first started, they did actual legal dramas like 12 Angry Men and Anatomy of a Murder and stuff that actually took place in courtrooms and things. Now they're doing Mamma Mia. Good for them. The production is happening in April at the Waterfront Theater. The auditions are in October 20th and 24th at the Carousel Theater. And as I said before, it's open to anyone who is a lawyer, a law student, or anyone who works within the legal system. And you want to find out more about that, you can go to the Carousel Theater website, carouseltheater.ca, and just look for the Lawyer Show. If you want details on these or any other audition notices, you can go to vancouveractorsguide.com or the Vancouver Public Library, vpl.ca. And if you haven't noticed that you like Red on the Air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us here, DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, or you can send a tweet to at CITR Dave Radio. Okay, let's see here. We got time for one more quick tune. Here's Hot Panda. I got to close that first. Here they go, Hot Panda.
Yeah.
That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shooting that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram. We are at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And remember to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We like to know you're listening because we care. Stick around. I hope Audrey's up next. I haven't seen them show up yet, but I mean, who knows? They might be at the climate change rally. But someone will be here at 2 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, and someone else will be here at 2 o'clock doing Bepi Crespin Presents. And then at 3:30, it's our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwar, the human serviette. Dave Radio will return next week at the same time. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
This Friday, UBC students, staff, and faculty will be walking out of classrooms and offices in a strike for climate action. The UBC climate strike will rally outside the AMS Nest before moving to the general climate strike at